Oh, yeah. She looks in much, loves much. Yeah. The one where Jesus was rebuked. Mary Magdalene poured out ointment that was a year's wage. Small vial worth a year's salary. I find it interesting who rebuked God. It was the one who ultimately betrayed him. And he rebuked him in the name of good. This could have been sold and it could have been used to feed the poor. And that sounds like such a good thing. Well, who knows why he wanted it sold. I don't think it was that he was that interested in feeding the poor. But it's interesting what he hid behind. Right? It's interesting what he hid behind. I think that frequently the enemy does that. And he'll do that in our lives. Where he tells us to hide behind something that appears to be good. And the reason why he wants us to hide behind something that appears to be good is so that we don't follow that which is right. Good and right are not the same thing. Sometimes good is not right, and sometimes right is not good. When Joseph was thrown into the pit, it wasn't good. And it wasn't right either, on the one hand. On the other hand, it was right. Now, the motivation of the brothers was not right, but the final action that resulted was. You see, the Word of God says that all things work together. All things work together. Now, when Joseph was thrown into that pit, his brothers were absolutely wrong. They meant it for evil. And they did it out of jealousy and hatred. And so they cast him into this pit, but the Word of God says that all things work together. You see, I can't tell how God is going to orchestrate His plan. I have no way of actually being able to discern this. All that I know is the pieces and how I am led by the Holy Spirit in the moment, but I do not know how I will be led by the Spirit tomorrow. And I do not know what will happen, but all things work together. Now, in the case of Joseph, he was thrown into the pit and it was wrong. And then he was picked up by a bunch of Arab merchants. And they took him and they sold him into slavery, and that was wrong. And he was bought as a slave, and that was wrong. But in that, Joseph maintained a positive mental attitude. He was sorrowful. In the pit, he wept and he cried out to his brothers. But he never turned bitter and he never turned negative. He was just hurt and he was scared. But when he got out of the pit, it worked together. And he was brought into Potiphar's life, into his house. And Potiphar, who was the Pharaoh's chief executioner, imagine being the slave of the chief executioner and then being accused of attacking his wife. This man knew how to kill people. He did it for a living. But he was a very wealthy man and he was a man of high stature in Egypt. And it worked together. Now Potiphar's wife was an ungodly, unclean woman. And I mean unclean before God, unclean. And she had tried to attack Joseph, and Joseph fought back. Well, he didn't fight back, excuse me, but he ran away. And as she grabbed him, he slipped out of his jacket. And she took the jacket to her husband and said, "Joseph attacked me." She lied. That's not uncommon. People will lie about godly people. Don't be surprised if you, as you live as a believer, as a Christian, and you live to glorify God, and you are faithful to your convictions, and you are true to that which you say you believe, and you pursue God with all your heart, don't be surprised if people will lie about you. And they may lie about you to hurt you. Don't be surprised. I remember when you made that decision to not date. That was a very godly decision. It was a Holy Spirit-led decision. And God, I believe, is very blessed by that. Did you know, by the way, that your decisions minister to the heart of God? You can give God a gift. You see, I think when we think about God, we think about Him as too distant and a little bit unfeeling. Although we know that we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, we still feel like we're kind of a little bit on our own. Now, this is not true. It's just a feeling, but it's not the truth. See, when you made that decision to not date, you gave a gift to God. But you were also attacked for it. And you were lied about for it. When you make a decision for God, don't be surprised if other people will come against you. Maybe if you are at school, other students will mock you or ridicule you. And they may hurt your feelings and make you feel bad. But you know what? You gave a gift to God. Have you ever received something that was very dear to you? Where somebody showed you that they love you. And you recognize what it is that they are showing you when they give you that gift. It was their way of telling you that they love you, and they wanted you to have something in order for you to know that and for you to be able to recognize that every day when you take and do whatever it is that you do with that gift. And every day you receive that love that they gave to you. You would not cast that down. You would not throw it away, and you would not treat it carelessly. You would take care of it. When you give a gift to God, He takes care of it. He knows that it is your love for Him, as He has loved you, and you then return that love to Him. He knows when you give that gift to Him that you are loving Him by that. God does not treat that carelessly or casually. God does not say, "Oh, isn't that nice," and then put it down. No. God takes that gift, and it is precious to Him. And He looks at it every day, and He says, "Joanna loves me," or "Sam loves me." Do not hesitate to give a gift to God. Now, the world will say it is stupid, it is foolish. They may laugh at you for doing it. But do not hesitate anyway. You gave purity to God. You committed that to Him. And it was a precious gift. And He values that. When I give a gift to God, He will give me something in return. For example, if I give my life to God, He will give me a life. If I give my heart to God, He will give me His heart. If I give up my friends to God, He will give me friends. If I give up my family to God, He will give me a family. Whatever it is that you give to God, God will return to you. And He will keep it, and it will be precious to you. Now, when Hannah prayed for a son, in those days, for a woman to not have a son was not a good thing. A son was highly valued. Not that a daughter wasn't, but a son was highly valued because they carried on the name, for example. Today, it's just kind of like some people want a son, just, you know, carry on the name. Not that a daughter wouldn't be precious, but a daughter doesn't carry the name. And that's okay, because a daughter has her place in God's kingdom that is unique and special and precious and dear to God. But she is different than a son. Not better or worse, just different. And in Israel, there was something about having a son. There was something special about having a daughter too. For example, Tamar. She was a precious daughter to David. She was a precious sister to her brothers. Unfortunately, one of them was not a good brother. But she was precious. But Hannah had pleaded with God for a son. And God said, okay, I will give you a son. But why? You see, Hannah gave a gift to God. She said to God, I will give you my son. This is after he was born. She took him to the temple, and she said to the priest, you take him, because he was a gift from God. And what happens is, when I get a gift from God, I give a gift to God. You see, in your case, you had received a gift from God. You had received life. You had received hope. You had received that which your soul longed for and your heart desired, although your mind didn't know it. But when you received that gift, and you received gifts like purity and righteousness and holiness and a desire for the things of God, including the physical things of God, and you gave it back to Him. So He gave you a gift, and you returned it. And when you return your gift to God, like Hannah did, God returns it back to you. You see, she gave the gift to God. She gave Samuel to God. She took him to the temple. She said to the priest, raise him, train him to be a priest. He is yours. And the priest gave Samuel back to her. He didn't reject Samuel. He accepted him. But someone had to raise him. So she gave him to the priest to be a servant of God. She gave her son to God. And God gave her son back to her. See, whatever it is in your life, God will give it to you. And when God gives it to you, you give it back to Him. And when you give it back to Him, He returns it to you again. And when He returns it to you again, you give it back to Him again. And this is how we walk with God. This is how we experience abundant life. This is how we go about growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. This is our relationship with Him. He gives us a gift that we return back to Him, and He returns it to us, and then we return it back to Him again, and He returns it to us again. And each time, there is something added. Each time, there is a richness of the blessing. There is a richness of God's character in it. You see, God gave Hannah a child but he was just a child. He was an answer to prayer, but he was just a child. But she gave him back to God and said, make him a student. And God gave him back to her. And then he gave him back to her with promise that Samuel would be a priest. And she gave him back to God as a priest when it was time. And there is no record of his mother seeing him again, although I have no doubt that she did. But look what happened. Look what Samuel became. Of the prophets that were ever on earth, Samuel was among the greatest. Samuel is a man who heard moment by moment the heart of God. He was not raised by a godly priest. He was trained by Eli. Eli was not a godly priest. His sons were wicked. They were cruel and they were self-serving, and God killed them. And Samuel was a carnal man. Eli was a carnal man. He didn't really follow God with all his heart. And this is the man who raised Samuel as a priest. But Hannah gave a gift to God. It was Samuel. And God gave her a priest in return. Mary gave a gift to God. She was a pure, beautiful young woman who loved God with all her heart, who preserved herself, who was holy before God in a practical sense. Not in a religious sense, but out of love for God, she kept herself pure, just like you. Out of the love for God, she kept herself pure. And God gave her a son. Now, she wasn't looking for this gift. God simply delighted in her. When you give your gift to God, God finds it delightful. And He delights in it. And because God delighted in that gift, He gave her a gift. And the gift was the Son of God. And then she had to give the gift to God again. She had to let Him go. And at the marriage of Cana, He said to her, "Woman, what do I have to do with you?" She had to let Him go. She gave her gift back to God. But she followed Him, except now she did not follow Him as though He was her son. Now she followed Him as her Savior. And she gave that gift to God, and God gave a gift back to her because God loved her with God's love. And she loved Him so much because of the love that she received that when He was hanging on the cross, she came to His feet. Not too many people did that. Mary did that. She gave her gift to God, and God gave a gift back to her. And then she gave her gift to God again when she lost her son on the cross. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the gift that God had given her, He looked at her and said, "Woman, behold your son." And He gave her John, the one that He loved. You see, she gave her gift to God, and God gave a gift to her. And although she could not keep Christ as her human child, because in fact that was not the purpose, He did not neglect that she was losing a human child. So you give your gift to God, and God will give you a gift in return. Mary Magdalene gave her gift to God. she washed his feet with her tears. She wiped his feet with her hair. And God gave a gift back to her. God said, the woman who sinned much now loves much. Why did she love much? Because she received much love. See, she gave her gift to God, a broken heart, a wounded soul, a scarred conscience, and God gave a gift to her, a broken heart that was broken by the love of God. It doesn't matter what your gift is. The woman caught in adultery gave her gift to God. She had nothing to give. But she simply stood before him. And in his eyes, that was a gift. Because she came to him. Although she was brought, nevertheless, she came. And she stood there, and she did not cower, but she stood before him. That was a gift. She gave her gift to God, and God gave her a gift in return. She said, woman, I don't condemn you. I've sent away all of your accusers. Now go and live a clean and pure life. Do you think that she failed again? I don't think so. Now there was a man who hung on the cross, who in the very last moments gave a gift to God. He simply turned to him and he spoke from his heart. When I turn to God and I speak from my heart, God considers it a gift. And all he said to him was, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And that which he spoke was actually a prayer. And it was a prayer that was written on the tombstones. But he knew he would have no tombstone. So he gave his prayer to God. When I pray, I give a gift to God. And so he prayed this prayer that was actually meant for the resurrection. The historical context tells us that this was a prayer written on tombstones related to the resurrection, that the dead be remembered by God at the resurrection. So he gave what gift he had, the little bit that he knew. A little bit that he had retained from who knows when, maybe when he was a child in Sunday school. And he gave it to God. And in return, God gave him a gift. He was the only man to accompany the Savior into paradise. This man who wasted his life, but at the very last moment gave his gift to God. I cannot produce my gift. I simply give him what he has given me. But when I give him what he has given me, he considers it a great gift. And it's precious to him. And I simply give him what he has given me. And then he returns it back to me. And in the case of the thief on the cross, he gave him his prayer. And God gave him eternity. Don't be afraid to give your gift to God. Your life was made by God. He is the one that holds your atoms together. He is the reason why you are breathing. He gave you a gift. If you give your gift to God, He'll give you a greater gift in return. I give my life to God. I give my heart to God. I give my purity to God. And God gives to me in far greater measure. You know what God gives me when I give Him things like that? He gives me things like a clean conscience, a content heart, joy of the Lord, peace in my soul. There are many people who are very wealthy, who have a lot of worldly possessions, but who are very impoverished. They would trade all of their wealth for a few moments of peace in their soul, for a few moments of true joy, for a few moments of feeling clean. The people who go and they fail, maybe they go into immorality, or maybe they pursue things other than God, they feel unclean. But it's not the kind of unclean that you go and you get dirty and you feel unclean. It is an unclean where you have shame and guilt, and it doesn't leave. And it is an uncleanness that eats away at your heart and at your soul and at your spirit. And it's a torment. And it's grief. And it's in their hearts. And though they may look fine on the outside, they are empty and alone and tormented on the inside. You find a lot of rich people taking depression medications because of this. It's always interesting to see how many very rich people turn to drugs or alcohol. Why do you think that is? Because they are empty and tormented in their heart. They didn't give their gift to God. You see, God gives you a gift. Give it back to Him. He gives you a life. When you were born, you are clean. You are pure. He gave you that. The world will try to take it away because the world is controlled by the enemy and he is trying to destroy your life. Because he cannot hurt God, so he must hurt you. Don't follow the world. If the world laughs, laugh at them. Because the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God, or God's foolishness is greater than the wisdom of the world. Don't be afraid to give your gift to God. The fear of man is a snare. Don't be afraid what others might say. Don't be afraid that you will lose by doing it. You will never lose with God. But when you gift your gift to God, He'll give a gift back to you. He will give your gift back to you. And your gift will be your blessing from God. It will be something that is so valuable that the richest of the people in the world, if they don't have it, they would sacrifice all their riches very quickly to have it back. You see, many a rich person who was on his deathbed would have traded all his riches for a little more time. You may have never gotten riches when you are old, but if you give your gift to God, you will have a promise. You see, when we are on our deathbeds, we do not have to long for just a few more moments because we know that we have an eternity awaiting us. We know that we are going home and we know that home is a beautiful place. We have an assurance and a confidence and a hope. Because we have given a gift to God and He has given our gift back to us. So he has given us something that we have returned, and then he gives it back to us. When you give your gift to God, when the number of our days is finished, God gives us a gift. He gives us a hope and an expectation. That hope and that expectation are beyond value. The world longs for them. The rich long for them, but they do not have them. You may never be rich, or maybe you will. It doesn't really matter. But when you give your gift to God, ultimately He will give your gift back to you. See, the day will come when I enter my home. And when I enter my home, God will stand at the throne. And he will say, "Welcome home, thou good and faithful servant." But that is only for those who have given their gift to God. The gift that I give is not a gift that I've produced. It's a gift that he has given me. If I am pure, it is because God has produced purity in me. If I have anything to give, it is that which He has given to me. If I love, it is because He loved me. Because there is nothing that I have that He has not given me. But when I give it back to Him, just like Abel did, the blood sacrifice, then He will look at me and He will find it acceptable. And He will receive me. If I choose to try to produce my gift, He will turn His back. Because it will be simply my own ability as a fallen man. And it's no gift at all. See, He's given a gift. Give it back to Him. He's given you a life. Give your life back to Him. When you give that gift back to God, then He's going to give you a life that's worth living. Amen.